You are tuned to CICK News on 93.9 FM in Smithers. CICK News is your news source for regional and provincial news Tuesdays and Thursdays at 8 a.m., 2 p.m., and 4 p.m. It's hosted by Dan Messick and myself, Pamela Hassan. Find and follow CICK News online at smithersradio.com and frequencynews.ca or wherever you get your podcasts. CICK News is funded by the Community Radio Fund of Canada and the Government of Canada.
Today on CICK News, the Lhako Lambs Band and members of the nine allied Tsimshian tribes were in Vancouver this week for a five-day federal court hearing over their concerns with the Liberal government's plans to implement a marine protected area off BC's coast, which they say will negatively impact their nation's ability to fish and build their local economy. According to a statement, Lhako Lambs is requesting a judicial review of the Minister of Fisheries and Oceans' decision to endorse the network due to a lack of meaningful consultation and implementation of fishing restrictions throughout the Northern Shelf bioregion, an area of about 102,000 square kilometers stretching from north of Vancouver Island to the Alaskan border with Canada, where the Lhako Lambs Band commercial fleet regularly fishes. Today, we speak with Lhako Lambs Mayor Gary Reese about why his community and the nine allied tribes are pushing back on the proposed MPA network and why this is the last stand for one of the few remaining fishing fleets on BC's north coast. Stay with us.
I'm Gary Reese, and I'm the mayor of Lhako Lambs.
Great, Mayor Reese. Thanks so much for being with us here on CICK News. As I mentioned earlier, we got a press release last week that Lhako Lambs Band has gone to federal court on the issue of consultation regarding the Northern Shelf Bioregion MPA network. Firstly, could you tell us a little bit about what this is and why Lhako Lambs felt that they needed to go to federal court over the MPA?
Well, we weren't properly consulted on that. We have a fish plant that in our community that does growing fish, and that's puts a lot of our people, up to 100 of our members, to work every year. And them closing certain areas is going to really affect our fish plant, and you know, we'll probably have to shut that down if that ever happens. And so we're quite concerned with that. There, a number of years back, it used to be fresh fish we used to take in there and salmon. And the band pumped in $15 million into upgraded into a ground fish can. And we've bought two ground fish boats also. So we've got a lot to lose in this year if that happens.
For those of our listeners that aren't, you know, familiar with some of the terminology or commercial fishing, what do you mean when you talk about ground fish?
Well, ground fish is not salmon like sockeye or springies. We still do sockeye if we get enough product to come in during the summer, but we switch mainly to ground fish, or we go after the ground fish and on draggers like.
What I know that, as you mentioned, there's, you know, the fleet of draggers. What does the dragger fleet do exactly when they go out? You know, folks probably are familiar with, you know, gill netting and seining. What do draggers do? What does that kind of process look like?
Well, they go after the ground fish in the bottom of the ocean, and they get certain ground fish and you know, we sip out in that, and so there's a number of different ground fish we go after, and sometimes we exchange that for a different quota that mainly we can get a half-decent price for. And
this is something you mentioned that the Lhako Lambs Band has invested in. Why have you focused on or invested in ground fish? What kind of economic stability does that mean for the community?
Well, it means a lot of employment for 9 to 10 months of the year for the plant to be open, and you know, and a lot of our people in the end would qualify for EI in that. Yeah, it goes a lot longer than what we used to do just in the salmon season. So salmon's been so short over a number of years now, it hasn't got any better. So we decided to do groundfish, and so we had to upgrade our fish plant.
Are there many others on the coast going after groundfish?
Well, I think we're the only plant up north here in all that desert that take groundfish into the fish plant, and a number of the plants have closed up this way here. They don't do what we're doing right now.
One thing I wanted to ask about is, you know, obviously this plan is quite large. The Northern Shelf bioregion, 102,000 square kilometers from northern Vancouver Island all the way up to the border with Alaska. So quite a large area. Why do you think DFO and, you know, the feds want to implement this MPA network? What have they told you, or what have you heard in, you know, some of your conversations? Why do they want to do this now and target particularly things like draggers and the groundfish?
But there's more to it, I guess, that there's other fisheries that are happening, like the goeiedok and that there, where they'll be affecting those in the area here also. But, you know, it's... to us, we're quite concerned. Like, you know, we seem to be always trying to get pushed out of the fishing industry, and the way DFO has been running things here, and, you know, it's just unreal.
Maybe, Gary, can you tell us a little bit about the parameters of this lawsuit? When was it initiated, and kind of where you're at? I know there were some representatives from the community down in Vancouver speaking about this and showing kind of some unity from Lac aux Lambs against this MPA. What does this lawsuit look like, and where does it go from here?
Well, we're in court there for 4 days, and they heard from our side, and we heard responses from the government, and it was going for 4 days there, and we won't find out the results of that until they say 3 to 6 months before we hear anything of what the decision is going to be.
Now, I know this network, it's also, there are several nations along the coast, and some have endorsed, you know, MPAs, but in a different form, allowing, you know, for some fishing in certain areas, some, you know, fisheries around clams and mussels and kelp. So there is some parameters to these MPAs that are a little bit more specific to certain areas. Is there anything like that Lac aux Lambs is looking into, and what would it take to, you know, have some sort of MPA that does what the DFO is looking to do in protecting certain areas, but also allowing for your community to continue fishing and obviously having some sort of economic stability for the community?
Well, if we're looking at DFO to sit down and work with us on a lot of these areas here, and that's all we're asking, and to come to some conclusion where, you know, where we can be happy in them. And, you know, that's what we are looking for, and that's, you know, what we presented in court, that, you know, we need to be properly consulted and for DFO to work with us.
Just the last thing for you, Gary. You know, obviously, Lac aux Lambs, big, you know, fishing history, but as you mentioned, the salmon industry has kind of gone to the wayside, and you're finding yourself needing to find other things. Are there other fisheries that your community is invested in other than draggers and the groundfish, or is this kind of putting all your eggs in one basket, or something that's more long-term that you see will provide for the community more long-term?
Well, I think, you know, that the way salmon has been going, it's you go year by year, and it hasn't been really getting any better. And some years there's more sake than another year. And, you know, we had the we still have the biggest fleet on the North Coast here for the salmon. And right now, you know, like it's not looking good.
In terms of the salmon, what do you think needs to happen? I mean, I know returns have been pretty low for a number of years, but we're also seeing the shift, and have seen the shift over the last couple of decades, that Alaska, Southeast Alaska, is actually taking a lot of BC-bound salmon. Where do you kind of stand in that frame, and has that ever come up with DFO in trying to deal with some of that issue, their interceptory fisheries up in Alaska?
That's been discussed a number of years with DFO, not only from us, but the whole commercial fleet, and that been complaining about it, and that is happening, that, you know, if they intercept the sarcoid that's coming into BC.
I guess just to finish it off, you know, what would you hope, or what would you like to see and hope for in this lawsuit? What are going to be some of the outcomes that your community is looking for?
Well, I think that, as I mentioned, you know, the DFO needs to sit down with us and work with us on this, and that's what we're looking for.
Tomorrow, June 21st, is National Indigenous Peoples Day in Canada. Here in Smithers, a grandiose project has been underway for nearly a year, and tomorrow it will be revealed at the Zalkant Friendship Center. This project features Wet'suwet'en drummers Diana and Virginia, local hip-hop royalty and educator Travis Hebert, Lisa Conway, a music producer and performer from Montreal, educator and the infirmary's frontman Brennan McKinnon, local producer Elijah Quinn, and Tukwa Elementary's music teacher, Brennan Anderson, as well as three choirs of students from Tukwa Elementary and Muheim Elementary in Smithers. Education about reconciliation is a main value of School District 54. Assistant Superintendent Jana Fox said that this collaborative effort of people with diverse backgrounds to teach about reconciliation is a powerful medium. The power of this project lies in the collaborative stories of Indigenous experiences, including band potlatches and having to find the trail back to their celebrations and song. The artists, educators, and students, some Indigenous and some non-Indigenous, each have been working tirelessly to bring their perspectives on board to drive the message home through song. The following are interviews with Assistant Superintendent Jana Fox, some of the students involved in the choral portion of Trail of Song, and musician Brennan McKinnon about the making of this song and the power of art to change minds. The schedule for the National Indigenous Peoples Day event at Zalkant begins at 10 a.m. at the Friendship Center Hall and runs all day until 3 p.m. Around 1 o'clock, make your way to the hall if you haven't already in order to witness the debut of Trail of Song.
What's your role in this project?
It's my role. My role is, well, just to kind of help with the musical side of things. I was helping with the arrangement, and the other Brennan, there's two Brennans. The other Brennan wanted me, like, kind of like the Indigenous, like an Indigenous in voice kind of input. So that was kind of my other approach too. And that's probably like the most like general way of explaining it.
Yeah.
I'm kind of like the Indigenous side.
And you're also playing that, you're playing the sweet hook too, aren't you?
Yeah, the keys that go, it's like, bum, 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 bum. But it's been a really cool project. It's extremely like equal collaboration going on right now.
Yeah.
Like I kind of laid down this like piano sustained thing to give ambience in the beginning. And then everything just fell into place from everyone else. And so it just feels good that seeing this choir here, like, I feel like that's the glue to every, like, all of our ideas right now.
Yeah. Are you working with Lisa Elcon as well, or are you working with Travis, or are the three of you kind of working remotely on one big idea?
So basically, well, Elcon sent like this really juicy synth, and that was from like through the interwebs. And but like for like Travis, Brennan, and I, us three has been kind of the meetup. So that's kind of that's why I felt pretty organic getting all the pieces together. And then Travis came in, and like the flavor was there, like instrumentally from Eli and Brennan and I. And then Travis just felt it, and he went in, and it was. It's just, that's what the organic, I mean, but her presence is felt with that synth and all that.
Yeah. So the lyrics, who's coming up with the actual lyrical content? Who's coming up with that?
There's been a bit of bit and pieces from everybody. Mm-hmm. We're all kind of driving towards the same goal, though, which is kind of the idea of different stages of reconciliation. So there's kind of like that pessimist side, the optimist side. Mm-hmm. And Brennan, the other Brennan's vocals are kind of talking about like stories being sung and shared and stuff, which is pretty true. And mine was pretty pessimistic. So like kind of mine was that saying never going to dance again, which is a very real thing that happened. So I'm kind of in that early stage. And then I'd say Travis is like the in-between. It's really chronological. He's kind of being like, now we're questioning it.
Yeah.
And that kind of goes towards like the Brennan kind of phrasing. Mm-hmm. Like it's all pretty and Kumbaya-ish. So basically, I was riffing on the piano.
Yeah.
And then I accidentally figured out Careless Whisper from George Michael. And then he's like, I'm never gonna dance again. And I was just like, that is a shared experience right there. Very different meaning.
Yeah.
Very different meaning.
So, in your idea, then, what's bringing it into this song? What is the meaning of what do you want people to get from that?
So the idea of never going to dance again is the, in this context, it's about being pushed to a point of pessimism because of, you get punished for dancing and singing songs for like years. Mm-hmm. And then, so I kind of interpolated that idea, just like redefined it because, it's just really hooky because the idea is for people to like hear heavier messages, it's much more digestible in like a hooky way.
Yeah.
And that's kind of where I came from. I was just like, we could be all like, things are bad. But then like, if there's no hook, people are just going to be like, people like rhythm.
Yeah.
And this song has a lot of rhythm.
Yeah.
So that's kind of how we're going to get people like to their ears to perk to like a message.
Help. Big breath and really try to sustain the last note.
Can everyone introduce themselves?
Layla. Bethany.
Skyla.
Meadow.
Isla.
Penny.
Cersei.
Wayne.
Okay. What do you feel like you're learning in this project?
Maybe like it's like kind of like telling you that the history of the indigenous people since Kanga means that and stuff.
Yeah, can you tell me what Kanga means?
It means the Trail of Song.
And what does Trail of Song mean?
Trail of Song means history in Wet'suwet'en.
Can you sing that part of the song for me?
Through the trail of song, we sing our melody.
It's
like a three part.
That sounds so good. Okay. And what's your favorite part to sing?
Probably the Trail of Song is fun.
Yeah? Why?
It's just fun to say it.
Yeah? And what about you? What's your favorite part of this?
I kind of like when we do the ooze over Travis Hebert, like hip-hopping. That's kind of a fun part.
Mm-hmm. And do you like the song?
I do.
Yeah?
I think it's really cool.
My name is Jana Fox, and I'm the assistant superintendent for School District 54.
Okay.
So we were just speaking about SD 54 wanting to have a commitment to teaching about reconciliation to the students. And how there's different avenues to do that through art, history, all that sort of thing. How do you think that this songwriting project fits with what SD54 values about teaching about reconciliation?
Mm. In the process of teaching reconciliation, I think we really value relationship building. And part of that process is creating the space within our classrooms or schools where people from diverse backgrounds can learn each other's very different stories. So that can be the students' stories or their families or their ancestors in this certain space, and where we can build understanding And I think the song does this in a really creative way, where people from many different communities and many different backgrounds and of all age groups are coming together to increase their understanding about each other. They're building stronger relationships. It's going to pull people in, and they're going to want to know, well, what does reconciliation really mean then? What does it mean for me as a community member? What does it mean? And now that I'm hearing this song and I'm seeing these various types of people, now I'm wondering, what sorts of actions can I take to engage in reconciliation? Not only is this done within the walls of the school, it's been brought out into the community to engage so many other people in the work.
I would assume that there are different ideas of projects that probably have an aim similar to this.
Mm-hmm.
Why you felt that this one was something that you would want to approve and that SD54 wanted to put, basically be a partner in?
Oh yeah. So this particular project met the criteria for our innovation grant program. And what that means is the district will provide a grant to certain teachers who are engaging in some sort of inquiry to try something new, take a risk, and do some learning to figure out how they can improve outcomes for the learners in their class or in their school. This particular project was chosen, number one, because it focused on reconciliation. One of our key goals that is part of our strategic plan for the past 4 years, and it's going to continue to be part of our strategic plan. The fact that Brennan had brought this into, this is the focus of his inquiry, is wonderful, but on top of that, it's innovative because it's not limited to one school. There's a couple of schools involved. It's not limited to a certain grade or a certain group of people. It's almost wide open. And the teacher has this amazing attitude where he can just bring people in and bring them on board and say, I'm doing something really great. This is what we're trying to do. This is our goal. We're all really excited about it. Come on board. There's room for you. And even if we don't know what you're going to do right now, we're going to figure it out because everybody can play a role in this project. And I think that was a big part of it. The other part that was innovative was that he was bringing in the musical aspect. Mm-hmm. And that is something as a district we value as well. We feel that the performing arts is very important. We value our musical program at the high school. When we have passionate teachers in our schools who are willing to take on that work, which is very challenging and very time consuming, we try and support them as much as possible. And so Brennan was willing to do that. He applied for other grants from other organizations and was able to secure funds for additional instruments and synthesizers and just built a program from the ground up. So with that kind of initiative and that kind of excitement, we were definitely willing to support him as best as we could.
You've been listening to CICK News. If you have any hot tips or news stories you think we should cover, contact us at CICKnews@smithersradio.com or follow us on Facebook at CICK News. CICK News is made possible by the Government of Canada and the Community Radio Fund of Canada, the only organization mandated to financially supporting campus and community radio stations across Canada. You can also catch our fresh shows each week at theskeena.com or subscribe to our podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you find your podcasts. Thanks to our producer, Pam Hassan, and all of our roving reporters, I'm Dan Messick. Thanks for listening.